come back to your calls in just a moment. There's been a lot happening in Washington, D.C. tonight. Simon Marks is LBC's US correspondent. He's on it for us. Simon, thank you for joining us. Let's start with President Trump and what he's been saying from the White House. Good evening to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say, Tom, that this was really a low point in the history of the modern presidency. Donald Trump, about 90 minutes ago, simultaneously published on Facebook a 46-minute on-camera speech, 2 minutes of which were published on his Twitter account. I'm not going to play the audio because it is non-stop untrammeled lies and falsehoods about the outcome of the presidential election, wallowing in QAnon conspiracy theories, all of which have been tested in now more than 40 courts across the country, all of them thrown out. The president's legal team have advanced all of these entirely false claims about fraud and corruption, a vast global conspiracy that now even appears to include the Department of Justice, the Attorney General William Barr, the most slavishly loyal member of President Trump's cabinet, who, of course, yesterday said that the Department of Justice has found no evidence to uncover widespread voter fraud, no evidence that the voting machines were involved in some kind of conspiracy to steal the election and hand the keys of the Oval Office to Joe Biden, and no evidence that anything went on that was likely to change in any manner the outcome of the election that we now know, by the way, Joe Biden won by more than 7 million votes in the popular vote. And Donald Trump is now, I think at this point, really embracing the role of being America's first QAnon conspiracy theory president. This is not someone who is any longer trafficking in anything approximating fact and reality. And he seems to be set on making this his new issue. This is going to be the thing that he thinks is going to give him ongoing relevance in the political conversation here, campaigning to fix what he insists is a completely corrupt, disgraceful election system in the United States, even though there is not one shred of evidence to support the allegations that he continues to make.
And yet, he's not going anywhere, is he? Because he's suggested that he's going to run again.
Yeah, absolutely. The White House last night, he attended a Christmas party of Republican supporters and told them that he was battling to try and secure 4 more years right now in the courts with these legal challenges to the election. But if that didn't work, maybe he would return in 4 years' time. And there is historical precedent for this. You'd have to go back to 1893 and former President Grover Cleveland, who served one term in office, got turfed out by the voters and 4 years later came back for a second term. And this, I think, is why we're seeing so many Republicans still frightened of confronting President Trump. I mean, if you look at what he's put out on Facebook and Twitter tonight, it's not just a huge challenge for the social media companies keeping those videos up, given that they're blatantly false. It's a massive challenge for Republicans in Congress who still won't call Joe Biden the president-elect and won't congratulate him on his election victory because they know that Donald Trump views a substantial percentage of his 74 million voters not as Republican voters, but as Trump voters. And they've got to be very careful because if he chooses in 4 years' time maybe to go third party, doesn't get the Republican nomination, but he says, right, I'm going to run as an independent, he takes those voters with him, and that's a massive problem for the Republicans.
In order to keep those Republicans on board, an enormous challenge having lost, but also an awful lot can happen over the course of the next few years. And it sounds like it is happening when it comes to further questions about what the Trump family was doing with its time in the White House. Let me just bring you this. It has broken in the last 20 minutes or so. I like to keep you on your toes, Simon. Reports that Ivanka Trump was deposed by the D.C. Attorney General's office as part of its lawsuit alleging misuse of inauguration funds, according
absolutely.
To a new court filing.
Yeah, just saw that as we were coming on air. I mean, that's not unexpected. There is this investigation going on into the way in which the inauguration was financed and the money then spent. And at the heart of many of those questions is that former friend of Melania Trump's, who published the tell-all book about her friendship with Melania that went spectacularly off the rails. She's the woman who surreptitiously recorded those conversations with the First Lady in which she disparaged what she had to do in terms of preparing Christmas decorations at the White House. We can definitely say that's not her favorite activity. But Ivanka Trump also in those crosshairs. And this feeds into reports that we've had all week long that members of the family, Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, Donald Trump Jr., possibly others, and of course the president's personal lawyer, are all angling for President Trump to give them a preemptive pardon before he leaves office, which essentially would be a get-out-of-jail-free card that they could wave in the face of prosecutors if there are any further criminal investigations of them after they leave the White House. It should be said that that's entirely unprecedented and hasn't been tested legally, but it would still be a pretty powerful document for the President of the United States to decide to bestow on members of his own family, and monumentally controversial.
Don't think the drama's going anywhere. Simon
Marks,
thanks.
So.
Yeah, Simon, thank you very much indeed. Simon Marks, LBC's US correspondent, joining us live tonight, as he does from Washington, D.C.